Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And you know that to be true.
We don't need to.
Because we said so.
And we don't like barristers.
Well, you know, we do from time to time.
Oh,
but
good ones.
Ones
that like the West.
Exactly. No problem there. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander. Bunker to France is with us and in Los Angeles. It is Todd Roberts. As soon as I find him again here.
Wandering Roberts.
I'm not sure what's going on here. Session expired. Really? That shouldn't...
Yeah.
Let's just,
yes.
You know, the clean
want
plant.
Want me to talk or something?
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and talk until I can get Roberts back here.
Well, for all of you that have been listening, and every time I do this, I know you're groaning. It's another time for Coming to Bunker's Bunkhouse, the good, the bad, and the bovine. And we're going to start out with July 22nd, 1587. I didn't explain how it works. I hope you understand by now. Anyhow, we're going back to July 22nd, 1587. The second group of English settlers arrive on Roanoke Island off North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to reestablish the deserted colony. This second attempt was destined to be known as the Lost Colony.
Yeah.
That bad luck.
And it is still lost.
And it's still lost. Where did Virginia Dare go?
Well, you know, I've seen documentaries on the Lost Colony, and they've...
A lot of theories.
Well, I know they discovered some things, and I'm not sure if they discovered inhabitants, but, I mean, it was like, whoa, that's pretty intense.
Well, one of the theories is that they moved up the coast to another island. In fact, they did, but they left that island. They left two clues. Which was the name of that island, starts with a C, I don't remember it.
Mm.
And the other one is that the Spaniards came and got them.
I don't know about
but
that
nobody
one.
Really knows. Anyhow, now, but we know this for a fact, that July 23, 1926, Fox Films buys the patents of the movie tone sound system for recording sound onto film.
Hmm.
This was the beginning of its commercial use.
Mm-hmm.
The first feature film released using this system was Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans, the next year, 1927. That's kind of cool.
I have not seen that movie.
I haven't. I don't even know what the movie. I tried to look it up. I did, but I don't remember what I saw.
Some of these are just so lost. Todd, give me a call on the phone. I think that's the best way we're going to handle this.
Okay. Now, while Todd's calling us, I'm going to go to July 24th, 1701. Antoine de la Motte Ciné de Cadillac, born Antoine Lamet, a French explorer, military officer, colonial administrator in New France, founds the trading post Fort Pontchartrain.
Hey.
I remember that from my childhood.
I know, history class.
Yeah, and later becoming known as the City of Detroit. It went downhill after it stopped being a fort.
Hey, it was Motown, man.
Yeah.
It was Motown, it was Motor City. Those are about the best things that happened to Detroit. As
Detroit Tigers?
Well, the Detroit Tigers. Okay, Norm Cash. I'll go with that.
The Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Lions.
Uh-huh.
And I would also say it's important to remember they make a pretty good pizza.
Yeah. And don't go outside after dark unless you're armed.
Even if.
Okay, now today, we're up to today. This is July 25. And this is a very special day because this is the National Day of the Cowboy.
Yeah.
To honor the historic and cultural legacy of the American cowboy, preserving a code celebrating the pioneer ethos of true grit, hospitality to strangers, loyalty to the land, and honesty. Honoring the modern ranchers, rodeo competitors, and those that work to conserve and maintain the frontier way of life. God bless the American cowboy.
You got that right.
Now, we're going to move on into July 26, 1739. George Clinton, not the one that's around today, but the one that was back then, he was born on that day.
Okay.
He grew up to be a general, a statesman, a prominent Democratic Republican. That's when they were all one party in the early days, in the formative years of the United States. He served as the fourth vice president during Thomas Jefferson's second term as president, and the first term of James Madison's presidency, which is, but he was also, this is his greatest claim to fame, he was the first vice president to die in office.
Wow.
The first croaker.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, July 27, 1816, Seminole Wars. This is for Harry because he loves Florida. The Battle of Negro Fort ends when a hot shot cannonball is fired by the U.S. Navy gunboat number 154. It explodes the fort's powder magazine, killing approximately 275 people. It is considered the single deadliest cannon shot in U.S. history.
And I didn't do it.
I knew that from a long time. I don't know why, but I knew that a long time ago. Okay. July 28, 1854. USS Constellation, a sloop of war, is the last sail-only warship designed and built by the United States Navy. Built at Gosport Shipyard, and it was commissioned on this day, 7/28/1854, and it's currently a museum ship in Baltimore Harbor. Now, I have two more pieces here, which are not, has nothing to do with balderdash. They're coming up in September, the 5th through the 7th, is the Sonoyta Labor Day Rodeo at the Sonoyta Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
It is good. It's 3142 South Highway 83. The gates open at 10 a.m. With Junior Rodeo at noon. Main performances at 2 p.m. Later in the day, there's a steak fry and live movie music. Saturday and Sunday is a repeat. More info, go to SonoytaFairgrounds.com. And the next weekend, and this is even better rodeo, it's September 12th through 13th. It is the 26th annual Sonoyta Ranch Rodeo and Range Horse Competition. It's at the Sonoyta Fairgrounds again, and you look it up at SonoytaFairgrounds.com. It's a ranch rodeo. At Saturday, 7 a.m. is the start. And it's, there's no slack. It's all straight go all day long until 6:30. There'll be a dinner in a Calcutta afterwards. And Sunday, it all starts again at 7 a.m.
You know, they do a great program for kids' rodeo.
That is excellent. That's on the first day.
I've seen it a bunch of times, and I think it's probably the best one out there.
I'll tell you, I think that the Sonoyta Rodeo is the best rodeo I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And I've been to a bunch.
Yeah, you have. All right, let's...
And the ranch rodeo, that is where you see real...
Our studio audience is here.
She just showed up.
Barb Whitus.
But it is...
Hello, Barb!
Todd says hello.
But the ranch rodeo is you're seeing working events, not...
Yeah.
Show events.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get on to why we are here.
Why are we here?
Because we like this place, the White Stallion Ranch.
Yes.
By God. It's Movie Saturday, and we have talked and talked ad nauseum about Westerns all the way from the Silence up to at least the 1960s, touching into the 1970s. We have not really gone into or delved into Western, the ones that have been made in the 21st century. And by golly, there are some good ones out there.
Yes, indeed.
You just got to go find them, and we're here to help you with that.
Well, I've got a tiny little introduction here to this.
All right.
Western films and TV productions have experienced a massive revival and evolution since January 1st, 2000, spanning traditional historical epics, grisly neo-westerns and sci-fi mashups. Key standout titles in the 21st century include premium television series, critically acclaimed feature films, and sweeping epics.
Mm-hmm.
I like sweeping epics.
Well, you know, one of the films that's in there, and I know Todd's going to want to talk about it, is Monty Walsh.
Well, yes.
He was unprepared. Get your notes out, Todd.
Yeah.
Out in 2003, and it's Wyoming, 1892. This one stars Tom Selleck.
Shot in Canada.
Yeah. Marty's been a cowboy for ranchers all of his life, and he's no longer young. And big business has taken over the ranches, damn it.
Good cast.
Yeah, it's a good cast and a very fine producer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Tell us about the producer, Todd.
Well,
he's speechless.
It's a very noble effort. And thank God.
Okay, we seem to have lost you on the phone now.
Hear me?
There you go. Stand still.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I think you're like Joe Misbrook in Little Abner with that cloud that is always over his head raining.
Yeah, Joe Fassett.
I said that Monty Walsh is a very noble effort and that we thank the heavens for Tom Selleck. He's a godsend, and we pray to the altar of Tom Selleck for Westman.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We should start a Tom Selleck cult. A cowboy cult.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this is kind of a wild card here, but I made a list, and I don't want to talk about any of them. I just want to go down it just to give people an idea of what has happened since January 1.
Okay.
No Country for Old Men.
Good movie.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Hell or High Water. Horizons. Yay. The Power of the Dog. Man. Wind River. Dango and Shane. 310 to Yuma. Brokeback Mountain. The Harder They Fall. True Grit. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yep.
Open Range. The Rider. The Revenant. Bone Tomahawk. Yay. The Proposition. The Homesman. Hostiles, Appaloosa, The Sisters Brothers, Damsel, Slow West, Meek's Cutoff, News of the World, Harry loves that one, Broken Trail, Seraphon Falls, The Missing, The Forsaken, Jane Got a Gun, The Kid, Dead for a Dollar, The English, The Ballad of Lefty Brown, In a Valley of Violence, The Thicket, Blackthorn. Don't tell me there's nothing out there worth seeing.
Well, for sure, and I did not hear any Travis Mills films in there.
That's because I was not focusing on theirs.
But I think whatever...
I knew you would.
All the Westerns that Travis Mills has produced, and in fact he did 12 in 12 months, they are excellent. My favorite is Counting Bullets,
mm-hmm.
With Travis and John Mars. A great movie, I think. Travis is just a great director. And...
Writer, producer,
and, yeah.
Cameraman, and, actor.
And Old Henry, you didn't
also
mention.
Also in Caterer.
Yeah. You did not mention Old Henry in there.
Well, I had to stop...
And it doesn't mention it on the IMDb website either.
Well, you know, I just... When I hit 45, I said, that's it.
Okay.
And then I had this moment of conscience... And I added Blackthorn.
All right, Todd, jump in there.
Well, I'll agree with all of those.
Add a few.
I really will. I mean, you know, I do think we've got some that shine brighter than others.
Mm-hmm.
And some
Silverado,
overlooked.
You know, Silverado, Tombstone, Open Range. You know, The Highwayman is a modern day mm-hmm. Western, even though it takes place in the 30s with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson about the two guys that
tracked, Texas Rangers,
the Clyde Barrow gang. But you know, I think there's a lot of them that, you know, get overlooked. I would say that definitely The Highwayman is one. Mm-hmm. Another one, you know, got a bad rap because of the modernistic space aliens, but you know, I've said this before, Cowboys and Aliens has some of the best Apaches I've ever seen. And they all know how to speak Apache, and they're excellent. Every not one person was miscast.
And I want to add to that Harrison Ford, he captured the essence of what those old ranchers were like. You know, they weren't the you know, the old weak knee or stuff like you see in a lot of Westerns. These guys were kick-ass assholes.
Yeah.
Well, you had to be really, really tough. Really tough.
You remind me of Wayne in Red River in a way.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I would also say that, you know, another one that really gets overlooked is Last Man Standing, another present-day Western with Bruce Willis basically recreating Kurosawa's Yojimbo or Leone's Man with No Name during Prohibition in a Texas border town.
Uh-huh. I forgot that. That's a great movie. I forgot that.
It's really well made, and you know, there's so many parts of it that are so authentic. The whole relationship between Bruce Willis and his .245 automatic, Colt automatic 1911 is, I mean, you know, I think it reminds me of what my grandfather used to say about tools. You know, you take care of your tools, they're going to take care of you. He is doting on those things at every chance he gets, and I think it really, the whole film is well done. Of course, you know, how can a film be bad when Christopher Walken's a bad guy? I mean, we know it's going to be good at that point.
For sure.
Walken.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there's several. Three Burials.
Oh, God, that's a classic. That is
just a beautiful film. That film is so beautifully shot.
It's lyrical.
I would also say that All the Pretty Horses.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, a film that was overlooked and was kind of panned at the box office and critics didn't like it, but it definitely caught... For me, it definitely caught the sentimental, maudlin feeling of Mexico that I felt when I was there, but it also had it from the book. It somehow conveyed it,
the book,
and I thought it was really well done.
And also, it's like the coming of age of the young men heading into Mexico.
Yes, it's the fantasy of you know, everybody who has ever been a cowboy and wanted to get away from the modern day cowboy and, you know, let's go to Mexico and try to survive it, which is hard enough as it is, but even back then. But I thought it was beautifully done. I'll also say that The High Low Country was a Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
Beautiful film.
Yep. Max Evans. Yes.
Max Evans.
You know, it seems like what we're seeing in many of these newer Westerns, neo-Westerns, or whatever the hell you want to call them, is they're heeding the advice of John Ford and making the landscape a character.
It's a landscape and development of the character, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not just quickly establishing them and blow something up.
Here's another one for you, fellas. Puss in Boots. It's animated.
Oh, yeah, you would pick that one.
I would. I like cats.
Well, what can I like Antonio Banderas. He's
great. Man. Selma Hayek. Oh, my God, what a babe. Billy Bob Thornton. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's
well,
animated.
You got to include Rango in there, too.
Well, yeah, of course. That one was really good,
that
I thought.
That was funny.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, the animated stuff, it makes it work out good.
Yeah. There was an old one that nobody ever saw back in the old days, Man from Button Willow. Did you ever see that
No,
one?
No.
Did you ever see it, Todd?
I think I saw it
that
years
was
and years
Dale
ago.
Robinson, it was his money to do it. He did the main character, and he sang a song or two in it. But it's a beautiful little animated Western because it's straight story. Yeah, anyhow.
Hey, we're long past where we're supposed to be to do a commercial break, so we got to do that now.
Do it.
All right. It's Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts with you. Movie Saturday at the White Stallion Ranch. We're talking about 21st century Westerns. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Who you got the raw insolence to call Chunky, you low-down, moth-eating tenderfoot? Get out of my store, you saddle bums. Never show your faces in Langtree, Texas again, or I'll throw you in jail for insulting the fairest woman west of the Atlantic Ocean.
These are a matter from the railroad, Judge.
Get out of here. Before you do, apologize, Miss Langtree.
Ma'am, we...
Hats off.
We apologize, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You ain't Chunky at all, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
And you're very modest, ma'am.
That's better. Now get out of here.
This is the Voices of the West.
It's 110 in Gila Bend. In Buckeye, it's 102. Summer's here and I just can't find a way to stop the...
We're back.
That's the only thing that rhymes with you.
We're back on Abel Francis, Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. At local group Dusty Chaps.
Oh, I remember them. They were big.
Yeah, they were. Petey Mischini was the vocalist.
He's good. He is smart.
He lives down in Bisbee now, I think.
This guy knows more about the desert than anybody.
Jesus, yeah.
He knows the name of every
plant
that lives in
the
desert.
Latin name. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
Anywho, it's like the temperature of the sun in Tucson now.
Yes.
And so I know it's past 110 in Gila Bend, but I don't care. I wanted to play it.
I saw a couple of volcanoes melting as I came out here.
It happens. It happens. Okay, we're talking about Westerns made in the 21st century here on Movie Saturday as we stream live from the White Stallion Ranch. What do you think of this one, fellas? The True History of the Kelly Gang, made in 2019.
I should have had that on there.
Well, you know, if you know anything about the Kelly Gang or have watched any of the early movies about the Kelly Gang...
They're all good.
This one wraps it up very well, I thought.
Australians, I've got to give them credit. They do the Australian Western consistently...
Good.
Yeah, I mean, their track record is unbelievable.
Yeah. Todd, any comments on that?
Well, I think the Australians make excellent Westerns because they live in the area. They are out on these, you know, they have ranches there. They don't call them ranches. They call them stations.
Yeah.
And they have stations that are bigger than some states in this country.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, you talk about guys that have to be tough. that still to this day they do. And so I think that breeds a certain type of person, male or female, and that is expressed in their films about their heroes.
Mm-hmm.
People who forged that. There's a great book called Hell Bent and Crooked. And it's a story of a guy in the outback in the bush,
mm-hmm.
and who was a wrangler or a drover or whatever you want to call
bush
him,
ranger.
Bush ranger, and just cowboys. We'll never knock cowboys, but I have to say that dealing with crocodiles and brown snakes and those brown spiders.
Oh, everything there.
All of a sudden, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah. For sure. All right, what do we got next?
Well, I've got to do this one because I think this is one of the greatest Westerns ever made. And it's a little movie, I want to say it's underseen, and it's a sad shame. It's a movie called Horizon,
yeah.
An America Saga Chapter 1. And this movie when I saw it, it blew me away.
You saw it at the theater, too.
Yes, I did. I saw it where it's supposed to be seen. And anyhow, Kevin Kasner, he directed it. This was shown at the Cannes Film Festival, and it got a 10-minute standing ovation.
Wow.
When it was over. And I was thinking about that, and it made me realize that people in Europe and around the world appreciate Westerns much more than Americans do.
You think?
Oh, it's sad.
God.
Yeah. What else have we got on this one? There's some little stuff. The screenplay was Costner and a couple of other fellas. The cast, of course, was Costner, Sienna Miller, Sam Worthington, Gina Malone, the Indian actors in this thing were great. But I got to say, the best depiction of an Indian attack is the first attack on Harmony. I mean, not Harmony, but Horizon, when they burn the town.
Mm-hmm.
The setup, the way it happens, it is just, it's like being there. And there's a scene in there that's one of my all-time favorite scenes. During the build-up, the early pioneers, they're having a hoedown, and there's an old geezer playing the fiddle and just loving and having a wonderful time. Well, throughout the attack, there's like massacre and all kinds of bad stuff. One of the braves, the old fiddler, he's been shot. He's got two arrows in him. He's laying there on the ground.
Oh, and that's the Indian takes
well,
the
Indian comes up, grabs the fiddle, and he won't let go of
him.
And they pull back and forth. Finally, the Indian lets go, walks away, respecting that old man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a great scene. But I'm going to give you some little background stuff here.
Okay.
When shooting in Moab, Utah, the temperature was 109. Towards the end of the shooting, the low got down to as low as 9 degrees.
Good God almighty.
Costner invested $38 million of his own money in it. That's belief in a project.
Wow.
The film was first commissioned in 1988. There were 4 attempts before it was finally greenlit. 4 films were planned in the series, and it's unclear if 3 and 4 will ever be made.
Mm-hmm.
On May 2024, I mentioned that the premiere in Cannes. It was Costner's first directorial effort since Open Range, another movie on our list. The film clocked in at 3 hours and 1 minute, and it was too short for me. And this is kind of neat. The pistol that Eighteen Killis, that's the actor, plays the young kid, is Russell Gans, wants to buy is a J.H. Dance 44. Very rare gun.
Hmm.
And the one in the movie was a reproduction. The film cost $100 million to make. Budget was supposed to be $50 million estimated. And this was Costner's 8th Western.
The man likes them.
He loves them.
I would say so.
No question. Hateful Eight, done in 2015. Big time cast in there. Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, Jennifer Jason Leigh. Tim Roth, Bruce Dern, Channing Tatum. You know, when I started to watch this movie, I thought, this is absurd, this is ridiculous. But the more I got in, the more I watched it, the more I thought, wow, this is good.
It's a strange movie.
It is a strange movie.
You know, it's
Michael, Tarantino, for God's sake.
Well, you know, Michael Marsden, which is in all of Tarantino's films, is, you know, look at this guy, he looks like a mobster.
Yeah.
But he fit.
Yeah.
Everybody fit.
Yeah.
And the girl in that, she was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but she was dirty, whatever her name was. She was.
All right. The remake, and I think it was a good one, of True Grit from 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The Coen brothers took care of that. Jeff Bridges, Halle Steinfeld, Matt Damon, Josh Brolin, Barry Pepper, and so many more. It is not, it's a remake of the one that John Wayne did, and some people poo-pooed this one, saying, oh, it wasn't all that good, it wasn't right. Here's the deal. Bridges portrayed that character the way
was written.
It was written in the book, and I thought he was pretty damn good. I enjoyed that movie. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed both of them. Which one would be better? I don't know.
I liked them both. They can stand alone. And this is the thing, you know, you can poop it, but it got 10 Oscar nominations.
You know, yeah.
So that tells you something right there.
3:10 to Yuma, 2007, Russell Crowe, Christian Bale, and so many others, Peter Fonda in there.
Ben Foster. Don't forget Ben Foster.
Ben Foster, I'll tell you what. It was, meh.
Ben Foster was the only thing that was good in that, and just like Richard Jekyll stood out in the first one, he stood out in this one.
3:10 to Yuma, the original, when was that, 57 or something?
Oh,
that was a noir western.
But you know who the armorer was on this one?
I'll bet who?
Del Reed. How about that, huh?
Yeah,
that's right.
So what do you
that's
think?
Right.
What do you think, Todd?
Well, I thought that it was fine. It was a valiant effort, but it's hard to beat Glenn Ford and mm-hmm. Van Heflin and Richard Jekyll. I mean, it's just, you know, that's kind of an insurmountable effort right there.
Well, you know,
I will just get him back to True Grit with Jeff Bridges by the Coen brothers. You know, that was a film that was really. That was much closer to the book. It was the book, as opposed to the first one with John Wayne, was a John Wayne film.
Yeah.
You know, that film could have been, we see the habit of John Wayne making films where he is the standalone barrier between good and evil, the innocent and the victimized and the perpetrator several times, whether it's Cahill or Big Jake or whatever. That is that character. Obviously, that character had a little different, should I say, a lot different flair, but it's very similar in its ways. And, you know, I love the film too, but I have to say that the Coen brothers, they sure know how to write.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
they really do.
A footnote to both of those films, though, is that, you know, we forget, we're looking at them from our geezerdom, and the audience that went to them, they hadn't seen those movies that we saw.
Yeah,
they
that's
did,
true.
They saw them on TV with commercials.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that is true, right. Bucker. Mm-hmm. That is true, but I know, I just think, you know, to me, still, I get a little chill up my leg, unlike Chris Matthews around President Obama, in a different way. Not that way.
I hope so.
Not that way.
Okay.
But, you know, I get a chill up. I get a little tingle when I see him, you know, fill your hands, you some bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the Robert Duvall
is classic.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Duvall as Ned Pepper is, oh, my God. It's, you talk about a guy with a lot of different dimensions to his talent. That's a perfect example. you know, how does he go from Ned Pepper to Tom Hagen? Tom Hagen in Godfather 1 and 2. Yeah. I mean, whoa.
Yep.
You know, or the network president in Network with Peter Finch and Faye Dunaway. I mean, the diversity and varying degrees that actor is truly one of our great, great treasures, and I'm sad we lost him.
Okay, we got to do our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. It's Movie Saturday. We're at the White Stallion Ranch, and we're talking 21st century Westerns.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Hello, I'm Travis Mills, and I made 12 Westerns in 12 months, and you're listening to Voices of the West.
Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, our studio audience, Barb Whitus is here. And you know, if there was a way to make the chaparral into the 21st century, it would be right there.
I wrote a little short proposal.
Yeah.
That the high chaparral is moving forward in time at the turn of the century, around 19. You know, where they're just starting to make movies.
Yeah.
And the ranch is in trouble. And so they decided it's become a dude ranch, working ranch.
Okay.
But a movie company comes and does a movie there and builds a town.
Wow.
And it becomes, it's kind of like a mini Arizona. But it's also a little bit of like Dallas soap opery.
Yeah.
You know, but you got the family dynamics. You know, like, I got to keep the ranch pure. No, we got to have dudes. No, let's get the movies over here.
Well, we know a guy in Los Angeles who has some connections. He might be able to help us out.
Hey, I got the whole thing in my head.
It's in your head, not on paper.
I've got the proposal, you know, okay. Which is just basically the outline.
Okay.
Well, come out to L.A. and we'll get a pizza and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
And therein lies the problem.
We'll do lunch on Thursday. And the check's in the mail, too.
Therein lies the problem. Hostiles from 2017.
Ooh.
Christian Bale. Rosamund Pike. Rory Cochrane. Wes Studi. Oh, my God. What a beautiful movie. What a good movie.
And what a great story.
Oh, it's so well.
Yeah.
So well done.
I think
really,
so. I mean,
well,
you know, it's an almost impossible assignment. Yet, Christian Bale makes it happen.
And he hates his assignment.
He does.
He wants to resign, but he can't. We won't let him.
That's right. And he
comes around at the very end.
He has respect for Old West at the end. And the Indian attacks, you know, because this is a, West Tootie is an old war chief.
Yep.
It's hated by another tribe. And they're trying to take him out because they don't want him to go to the reservation.
Uh-huh.
It's a great movie.
I thought so. Yeah. All right, what else we got?
Well, I've got one. I'm going back to Australia now.
All right.
And this movie, you talk about a dark movie, The Proposition, 2005.
I've heard that.
Yeah, we talked about it several times. The cast was Guy Pearce, Ray Winston, Emily Watson, Danny Houston. That's like the gold standard for Australian movies. Hmm. And it's a law officer, a British officer, Winston, is determined to bring law and order to the 1880s Australia. He makes the devil's own bargain with Pierce. If Pierce will kill his older brother, because Pierce has been captured, who raped and murdered a woman, pregnant woman on top of that he can save his life and his dim-witted brother, who is scheduled to be hanged on Christmas Day. All he has to do is kill his brother, older brother. Now that's a problem. And I've got some little footnotes on this. All of the firearms are period replicas.
Nice.
Famed gunsmith Buck Merry crafted each one with his own two hands. And this is the neat part. They transported the weapons to the set via steam locomotive.
Oh, nice.
That's authentic. Now, the wardrobe was handmade to be as authentic as possible. Even the buttons were handmade. And director John Hillcoat did extreme research into the period. He also gave that research to all of his cast and crew. That's a thorough film.
No kidding,
and
man.
It shows in the film.
For sure, for sure. Todd, you got one?
Well, you know, I think Quick and the Dead is fabulous. I know it's not from this century, but I love that film. I think it's beautiful. And again, it's Thel Reed, obviously, that
great movie.
Makes
I enjoyed
it go
it.
Off so well. I would also say that Wind River, Taylor Sheridan's other Western, now our esteemed founder would say, that's not a Western, that's a Northern. So, yes, okay, he's right. But it has the characteristics, you know. I remember Bunker always saying that, you know, Westerns have to have a few basic elements that can't be negotiated.
Yeah,
and
seven elements.
That has them.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, you know. This was number three on my list. And, of course, you had Jeremy Renner as the wildlife hunter for the government, Elizabeth Olsen as the FBI agent, and Graham Greene, the inestimable Graham Greene, as the tribal chief, police chief. And this guy, he's always has that ability to bring some kind of warmth and humor to the character. He just does a marvelous job. Let's see, what do we got? I got some other stuff here on that. Okay, this is the basic storyline. A native woman is murdered and her death investigated by a federal agent who learns of the red tape that causes many native women's death to be unsolved. Mm-hmm. It's a good look at the missing and murdered indigenous women and the fear that surrounds it. The film was released at the same time as the Savannah Gray Wind went missing, which later caused the creation of the Savannah Act in 2017. It is a WWA Spur Award Best Western Drama Script. It's a Western Heritage Wrangler Award film for the National Heritage Museum for Outstanding Theatrical Motion Picture. And on top of that, what is it we got here? Oh, no, I will skip that part here.
Okay.
But this is also at the Cannes Film Festival. This received an 8-minute standing ovation.
Wow.
And it was filmed in genuine blizzard conditions.
Oh, man.
You know, some of these guys are crazy. and this is a footnote, the FBI has exclusive jurisdiction over 21 crimes committed on Indian reservations. Rape is one of those. It also took 40 days to shoot. The Wind River Reservation is a real Indian reservation. It's the seventh largest in the United States. And this is neat. This is the prologue and the epilogue. Prologue. Inspired by actual events. Epilogue. While missing person statistics are compiled for every other demographic, none exist for Native American women. No one knows how many are missing.
Huh. Yeah.
And the body count in the movie is 15.
Oh, my God.
Well, just as honorable mention, we should take a moment to mention our good friend of the show and
Ben
also
Nighthorse.
A guest on the show, Shyla Connor, who Northern Cheyenne rodeo
right.
queen,
yep.
and got a law passed in the state of Montana got the governor to sign it, which has the communication channels more transparent and more open between the tribal authorities and the municipality, county, state, and federal governments.
All right. It should be.
Yeah. Okay. Earlier in the program, I mentioned no Travis Mills movies made any of these lists. And not that that's a bad thing, but hey, do not overlook this guy.
Yep.
I mean,
no, he's a very good filmmaker.
Very good filmmaker. And my favorite is Counting Bullets. It's one of 12 Westerns that he made in 12 months. It's the story of a small group of cavalry soldiers who are pinned down in a canyon by the enemy. And over the course of a few days, they are forced to face their differences and rely on each of their instincts to survive. The original thing was they were supposed to go out and rescue some sisters who were traveling from Nogales or someplace,
mm-hmm.
and they found them, but
they were mutilated.
Yeah, they were mutilated. John Mars and Travis Mills wrote it. It stars Travis and John Mars. It's a damn good movie. Damn good movie. Good scenery. You won't...
All around the Chiricahuas.
Yeah. You know, you can find it on... Let's see, where is it streaming?
Yeah.
You can find it on something called Fossum. I don't know what that is. Tubi. And on Prime Video, you can rent or buy it. I have it.
I'm going to add throw a footnote into that. If you want to get really entertained and learn a lot about movies, Western and otherwise, go to Travis's website.
Oh my God! Yes,
he is master at what he does. And one other thing about that movie is, there's cavalry movies, there's not that many made.
No.
And, of course, everybody knows that Ford is the master of those. You have one of the best cavalry sequences in Horizon that is equal to the Ford stuff. And Travis comes close to that.
Very close. He's another one who uses the scenery as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more I watch and read about John Ford, the more I think, yeah.
I've got about 6 or 7 biographies, and I've read all of them, and I go back to them all the time.
Yeah. All right, let's take care of our final commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, Barb White is our studio audience.
Yes, she is.
We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda, That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
We even heard you sent for a marshal. You know, that was right careless of you. We're cleaning up this town, and no one's gonna stop us.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our studio audience, Barb Whitus, is here. We're at the White Stallion Ranch for Movie Saturday talking about the best, well, not the best, we're talking about the Westerns made in the 21st century.
Ones that weren't a dud.
Yeah, ones that weren't a dud. And that song is called Six White Horses. So there.
Well, Marty Murphy did Six Black Horses.
Okay, very well. All right, we're getting down to the wire here, fellas.
I've got one here.
Who wants to jump in?
This one is like I call a wild card film because people went to see it thinking they were going to see one thing and ended up experiencing what they thought they were going to see and something else. It's a movie called Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, you know, I have tried to watch that, and I cannot get through it.
Oh, it's just, I love it. Anyhow, it's October 1st, 2015, it came out. It was directed and screenplay by S. Craig Zoller, who also wrote the book that it was based on. In his books, I recommend his books because they are different. Anyhow, it was a cast of Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, Michael Matthew Fox, Lily Simmons, David Arquette, Sig Haig, the wonderful, scary Sig Haig. And the movie basically is, it takes place in the dying days of the Old West. An elderly sheriff, that's Kurt Russell, and his posse set out from town of Bright Hope to rescue their town doctor, who is Simmons, a lady doctor, from cannibalistic cave dwellers. And the movie, it's been described as equal parts The Searchers and The Hills Have Eyes, which is a good description.
I'll just have to try it again.
Yeah. And anyhow, the final movie represents the first draft of the script. That's how good a writer and director Zoller is. And this is interesting. The pistol Patrick Wilson, who plays Arthur O'Dwyer, it carries a Merwin and Hulbert revolver. The pistol Kurt Russell is carrying is a Smith & Wesson Model 3. The body count in the movie is 24. And I mean, the only reason there's not more is because they ran out of people to kill. The Western Writers of America, it was the 2016 nomination Spur Award for Best Western Drama Script Fiction. And Craig S. Waller, the writer. And this is interesting. The Bone Tomahawk is a historic tool and weapon historically crafted by various indigenous North American tribes. And they forget the fact that Samson wiped out a whole army with the ass bone of a jaw.
Mm-hmm. Todd, you got one you want to throw in there in the waning moments?
Todd?
Oh, wrong.
It's in Cape Blanchett, directed by Ron Howard.
I'm sorry, I didn't have your thingy up there, so start again,
The
please.
Missing.
Yes.
Okay.
The Missing, with directed by Ron Howard, with Clint Howard, his brother, as the sheriff, starring Tommy Lee Jones and Cate Blanchett, the guy who plays the medicine man, the evil witch and medicine man, is one of the most scary characters I can think of, I can come across. I mean, he still scares me to this day.
Yeah.
Just a beautifully made film. You get a chance, go see it. If you're a woman and you want to like a Western, go watch it. Because your hero is a woman.
Yes. And
the
she's kicked
person
out.
Who say the character who saves the day is a woman,
and the daughter is not too shabby either.
Oh, the daughter is beautiful, and the one who's kidnapped is beautiful, and the one her younger daughter is an excellent actress.
Yeah.
All right,
quality.
This is what. Do you know who made the leather in that movie?
I'll bite.
Al Fleming. Our friend Al Fleming.
Al Fleming, our good friend.
Al Fleming. All right, fellas, we're about at the end here. Is the Western genre, has it been rescued?
I think so.
You know, from what it might have been or what it used to be? I mean,
I think we've
talked about some pretty damn good movies here.
I think one of the things that's happened to Westerns is it's gotten lost in the shuffle of the streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's so much stuff being put out now. The choices now are beyond comprehension. And you've got to be very astute to find out what's playing, when's playing. You know, you can't find when Western's playing in Tucson. There's no advertisement. There's no media on it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's because Tucson doesn't want to acknowledge its history. Todd, what do you think? Is the Western genre saved?
I think the Western is resurrected in spite of itself. What I mean by that is that Hollywood has done everything it can to kill it,
yep.
Ignore it, dismiss it, discount it, and ruin it, and it still keeps coming back. And I think it's because it connects with, you know, the middle of this country.
And I think go ahead. I'm sorry, Todd.
Yeah, I think it connects with the people in the Midwest. It connects with the people in the West. It connects with people everywhere. Anybody who gets up, you know, before dawn and goes to work every day can relate to a Western, no matter what they do for a living, no matter what part of the country they're in, because that is the story of this country about people who had to figure it out.
And, you know,
men and women.
So
it was not easy. It was hard.
So it's probably more of the independent filmmakers that are making the splash here than traditional Hollywood, would you say?
Well, you know, one of the things...
Well, you could say that,
we,
you know.
We owe a big word of thanks to Taylor Sheridan.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Because the West, they were there, but he made people aware of
them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say we have, for this century, we have three big thank yous.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Sam Elliott.
Yep.
Taylor Sheridan, and now I'll also throw in Kevin Costner.
Costner.
All right, that's it, fellas. Good show, man. Good show. Hope, listeners, you find some of these places or some of these movies. You can, you know, if you're on the internet, you can find them. Just plug it in there, and you'll find it someplace along the line or on your favorite streaming service.
I have a suggestion.
What's that, Mr.
Difference? The next time our listeners go to the movie theater, I don't care what it is that they're going to see, when they buy the ticket, ask the seller, when are you guys going to get a Western? When you go inside and you get your popcorn, ask the kid behind the thing, when are you guys going to get a Western?
There you go.
You see some of the theater staff wandering around, when are you guys going to show a Western?
Yeah.
If you keep banging them enough, maybe somebody will get a Western.
There, that's a good idea. Todd, who we got next time?
Well, gentlemen, we all our audience really needs to tune in for this one.
Okay.
We have the great author, Chilton Williamson, who has written a brand new book that has come out. He's written some others, and a real troubadour.
All right.
A real Renaissance man, has lived in the West, has lived in the East. And it's just a very unique person. He's full of stories, and we're going to enjoy him very much. So please tune in.
Excellent.
Buy his book, The Last Western or Mexico Way.
Yeah.
And that's next Saturday. What is that? The
1st.
1st of August?
Yes.
Here on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West. And that's it for this time.
78, 79, 80 O's, but don't forget the 21st century, even though we belong in the past.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.